so, you know, I know that every single one of us has things that happen to us in our lives, just like he was singing, that we would prefer not happen to us. Things that we don't really like. Things like we lose a job that maybe you thought you were going to work in until you retired. Or you lose a relationship either to divorce or to death, and you thought you'd be in that relationship until the very end of your life. Or your car gets wrecked. Or your house gets flooded. Or you get diagnosed with an illness, or your parent gets sick, or a child gets sick. We all have things like that that come up in our lives. And I think we like to think, because we are metaphysicians, and because we are good people, and that we are living good lives, that we would be immune to those things that feel catastrophic in life. But you know what? That isn't the way things roll all the time, you might have noticed. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person, it doesn't mean you're a bad metaphysician. Things just happen in life. And so we all have things that happen like that in our lives. So then the question is, how do we move through those things? And how do we have resilience? How do we bounce back after those things happen? Brené Brown speaks of that in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, that we're doing a book study on right now. And she defines resiliency as the ability to overcome adversity. It is the ability to bend and not break. I think of a birch tree that can blow in the wind in this big, huge storm and be flexible, and it may lose some leaves, but when the storm is over, it stands tall and it grows new leaves and it is full and it grows taller than ever before and thrives. That's what resiliency is. It's the ability to cope with stress in a way that allows us to move forward in our lives. It's buoyancy, the ability to be buoyant. And so she did a lot of research, and some of what she found in her research was people who are resilient, some of the common factors are they are resourceful. That means they discover creative ways to deal with whatever's going on that are kind of outside of the box. They get outside of the norm and are creative in how they're going to solve their problems and difficulties. They are likely to seek out help. They believe that there is something they can do to help themselves cope. They are connected to and have the support of others, of family and friends. And the one thing that she discovered that every single one of those resilient people had in common was that they all had spirituality and that they all held some deep spiritual belief and conviction that was the thing that allowed them to bounce back in their lives. A deeply held spiritual belief. And so the title of my talk today is Putting Some Bounce in Your Step. And I'm talking about just that, talking about having spiritual conviction, talking about having some, one or multiple, deeply held beliefs that you can lean into when things are challenging, when things are difficult. It's called faith. And how that then, having those deeply held spiritual convictions and faith, allows us to move through life and to move through life's challenges and difficulties and detours and U-turns with bounce. We bounce back. It allows us to move through adversity with greater ease and with peace and with a sense of well-being and with confidence. And in turn, what happens because we are coming towards our life with that confidence and with that spiritual conviction and with that faith, it sets a new cause in motion, and it brings back to us an even better life because we're holding that to be the truth in our life. I love what Barbara said in her reading today. There is nothing to oppose that one power and that one presence. That is the thing to remember when we are in that. There's nothing to oppose this power that's at the center of my life right now. And so I read a story that I would like to share with you. And it actually came from a website that was all about bouncing back and all about resiliency. And it was called Second Choice, I think is what it was called, Second Option. And it goes like this. On September 12th, 2013, I woke up and went downstairs to find my home and entire business under 5 feet of water and mud. Floods had hit Colorado the night before, completely out of the blue. I put 5 years into building my company, Kind Design, and I thought it was all gone in an instant. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to go through, to lose everything that I'd built. I was frantic. I called my family and friends who lived by. Remember, resilient people have family and friends that they're connected to. Everybody came over to help salvage as much stuff as possible. Some products were savable, but most were not. My mind was blown by the support I received following the flood. As soon as he heard, my brother drove more than 100 miles to help me clean and salvage what we could. My family and friends dropped everything that they were doing and came to help. There were no questions asked. When something bad happens, people will amaze you. What ultimately saved the company was a Facebook post. I had designed some hats before the flood. They had our logo on them, a snowflake in a water drop in the color of the Colorado flag. When samples of the hats arrived a few days after the disaster, I was struck by how much the design reflected Colorado's strength after the flood. I posted them on Facebook, and it went viral. We ended up pre-selling enough hats to save the entire company. It turned the disaster into a triumph. I can now say that the flood was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was a clean break in our production process. It forced me to rethink how we did everything. I hit the reset button moving forward and focused on my design and my brand and less on in-house production. Losing everything also gave me a new perspective on what's important in life. It got me thinking more about family, less about material things. Since then, my wife and I had a daughter and we're now expecting twins. The flood made me aware that you can replace physical things, but you can't replace memories. Now I put more value on irreplaceable things. Since the flood, I've tried to use my company to help others. We cleaned and repaired 1,500 pairs of gloves that were damaged that day, and we're donating them to search and rescue teams and ski patrols. It's important to pay it forward. I found that the more good you do, the more good other people will do. That's resiliency. That's using what shows up to create something better. It's getting outside of the box instead of the path you thought you were on and rigidity of thinking that it has to be that particular way. But what often happens for us when we have experiences that are difficult and experiences that are challenging, we get into worry, and we worry that this is never going to work out. We worry that it won't work out, that things won't be okay, and that we won't be okay. And then what happens? The wind has already been taken out of our sails because of what happened, but in our worry, in our telling ourselves that things are never going to work out, our sails can't catch the next wind that's coming up. In our faith and in our trust and in our positive thinking and in our moving forward, we open our sails to catch that wind so it can take us to the next place. And as human beings, it is absolutely normal when something that feels catastrophic happens to feel shocked and to feel like we've been knocked off balance temporarily and to feel disoriented and to experience loss and grief. That's part of being a human being here on this planet. But I think that it's really important in the midst of that to pay attention to the stories we're telling ourselves. Like, things are never going to be okay again. We have to pay attention to those stories we're making up. Those feelings of helplessness and hopelessness that we feel in those moments are absolutely born out of the belief that the situation that we are in and that we ourselves are somehow outside of God, outside of good. God and good mean the same thing. It's because we have forgotten and we think that we are outside of that love intelligence of the universe. We have forgotten that creative force that created everything out of itself, every plant and every animal and every butterfly and every organ in your body and you and how everything works perfectly, this entire cosmos, that presence is right at the center of your situation. because it is always right where you are. It is the center of your life. It is at the center of you, and it is at the center of that moment you find yourself in. We've taken our attention momentarily off the truth. The truth that wisdom and love and harmony and order are right here in this situation also. When we lean into that, we open those sails. That creates resiliency. So Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, says, thought is a mold. Conviction is the molten substance that's poured into the mold. Our conviction allows us to create something new and to move forward with greater ease. And so faith in that one presence and in that one power, in that wisdom and harmony, in the activity of that one, creates an avenue so that it can express within us and through us. It removes any obstruction that's in the flow. It's kind of like a garden hose. When we have that doubt and fear, it's like putting a kink in that garden hose. When we keep focusing on how things are never going to work out and how terrible this is, and in that fear and that doubt, putting that kink in that garden hose, you know only a trickle of water can come through. Only a trickle of our good can come through when we're in that doubt and fear. It blocks the flow. But in our spiritual conviction, in our faith, in our trust in that divine presence, we remove the obstruction and open the way so good can flow into our lives. In our openness, we open a way so that obstruction no longer is there. It eliminates the kink. It allows the creative flow to flow into our lives as the perfect solution to our problem, as the answer to our question, as the way to move forward, as the good that we are seeking. Ernest Holmes says, faith looks into the invisible, and instead of seeing a void, it fastens its gaze upon a solid reality. The solid reality that that presence is right here, right now. That presence has nothing to block it. Nothing to oppose it, because there is no other power. God is in and through everything and expressing as everything. There's nothing other than that presence, so there's nothing to oppose it. And so in our faith and in our conviction, we see with our inner eye, with our spiritual eye, solutions. We see that love is already present. We see that the intelligence that created the cosmos out of itself is right here. In our spiritual conviction, we see that good is the nature of God and good is unfolding itself. In our class this week, our book study on Brené Brown, The Gifts of Imperfection, we talked about that. And we asked ourselves the question, what is the deeply held spiritual belief or conviction that I hold that allows me to be resilient, that allows me to bounce back, that allows me to stay afloat? And for me, my one thing that I can always go back to and always know is absolutely I know with every fiber of my being that life is for me. And in talking after class with one of the students, I realized for the first time how I really came to that conviction. And when I was in practitioner training the first year, the very first part of practitioner training, one of the things that we did was we made a timeline of our life in 10-year increments. And we wrote down all the major things that had happened in our lives. And then we went back and we looked at and wrote down how every single one of those things served us. And so every difficulty, major things in my life, breakups and whatever, moving from one job to the next, every single one of them, I got to see how it served me, how it grew me, how I got to discover more about myself and my own power and my own wholeness and so much more that I never would have discovered about myself had I not gone through those experiences. And I really saw from that everything is for me and that life is for me. And I say that to you, God is for you, therefore life is for you all the time. And so Bill Hoy, who I didn't know who he is, he's a baseball player, apparently an old-time baseball player, said, transition finds you in a different place than where it leaves you. Every time we find ourselves in one of those places of transition, which is what those challenges really are, it moves us to a different place in our life. It allows us to grow and unfold and discover something more and bring a greater part of ourselves into our awareness and therefore into our lives. And so other people in class said things to answer that question. What one deeply held spiritual belief do you have that allows you to be resilient? They said things like, I know that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I know that I am a child of God and everything will be okay. I know that I can overcome and achieve anything with persistence and a positive attitude, and that there is no such thing as failure, just learning and improving. And I know that God is always with me. And so I want to know, what is your deeply held spiritual belief that you can lean into that enables you to bounce back when things are challenging and when things are difficult? Do you have one? Tell the person that's sitting next to you what your deeply held spiritual belief is. And I hear people saying, and I know lots of people that hold that conviction that it's just going to work out. Even if I can't see it, even if I don't know how, it's all going to work out. And so the call is to know that truth in the midst of any challenge. To remind yourself of that truth when things seem challenging or difficult and you don't quite know where to go. Live from that knowing within yourself, which means to me, sit in meditation with that knowing and repeat that to yourself so it can grow, so it's more readily available to you, so you can just pull it out of your back pocket because it's right there with you all the time. Trust that there is a divine intelligence at the very center of your life. It is the center of your life, and it is the very essence of your own beingness. You're not separate and apart from it. And you know what? God will never and can never have an agenda that is other than your highest good. And I don't mean your parent says, this is going to be good for you and you don't want it. It's not like that. It absolutely serves you to know that life is on your side and God is on your side and it's all for your good. Trust in knowing that presence is at the center of everything and that it is orchestrating everything and that it is orchestrating what's going on and that it's the very essence of love. And if you're stuck and you're having a hard time, sit down with a practitioner. Do a counseling session with a practitioner. Have them do prayer with you. You do spiritual mind treatment so you can remind yourself of the truth when you forget it. Because we all forget it sometimes. Tell yourself that truth. Meditate and get perspective on it. I tell you this all the time. When you meditate, you get to be separate. You separate yourself from your feelings and from your thinking so you can get a new perspective on it. Commune with that part of yourself that knows all is well even here. because there is a part of yourself that knows that. Carolyn Reynolds wrote the book Spiritual Fitness. She says, beyond all your thoughts and emotions, deep down inside you, there exists a center of perfect peace. This is the part of you that is unaffected by the vicissitudes of your daily life because it is constantly linked to your source, to the universal life force of which you are a part. Like an invisible umbilical cord, this place of peace feeds you all the real power and sustenance. It is the part of you that actually gets you through life because it is the seat of your soul. So commune with that seat of your soul, the part of you that is perfect peace, and the part of you that knows all is well, and that knows you're in good hands, and that knows it'll all work out because that's the way life is. Live in close contact with that part of yourself, and then you'll be living with resilience, having bounce in your step and an ability to bounce back easier, and living with greater peace and greater ease as you move through your life. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of self-discovery, of discovery of that spirit, that one power that lives within you and that is always right where you are. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer now. Oh, and so we do just that. We take our attention, our energy, our focus off of this material world, and I turn it to that one infinite presence. That one presence and power from whence all things come. That one creative force and good without end that is at the center and the circumference of everything. For I know that that one is everywhere present, in its fullness, in its allness, equally present everywhere. And that this force of good, force without end, has nothing to oppose it. For it is the one and only power, the one and only presence, the one and only life. And it is the life that we are living, and it is the life that is living itself through us. It is the creative principle and presence that is expressing itself within our minds and within our hearts, that it is that which leads us and guides us and opens the way and presents the answers and the solution and the ways that enable us to thrive and to stand tall and to unfold and to live in joy and in peace. And so I recognize that we can never be separate from this one, for it is the all in all. And so today I do know that we are each and every one of us led and guided, and that everything is unfolding right now with ease and with grace and in peace and in wholeness, for we are that wholeness of the divine. Here in form, the wholeness that nothing can touch, that nothing can disturb, that nothing can hinder. Here, the wholeness and the beauty and the love and the magnificence of that one, here in form, living this magnificent life. And so how grateful I am to know that we are never separate, to know that we live in the midst of that one and that it lives in the midst of us. How grateful I am to know this. And so I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now simply because it's the truth, and it is unfolding itself now because we know it. And it is with that that I release this prayer, and I allow it to be, and I say, thank you, God, and so it is.